on a Sunday we would recite such a long creed, is that what we're doing the work of as a congregation is to say, these are the things that most matter to us in the gospel. These are the things that the church has believed for 2,000 years. But also doing the work of going, why do we care about these things? Why do they matter? And what are the implications and impact of these things on our life? And so as we just recited together the creed, we're stating the good news of Jesus. But if you're new to it, and you're just listening to that creed being said, that's a lot of big information. Is that fair? And you're kind of going, well, what does all that mean? And what are the implications of that? I don't even know. What we're doing together as a church over time is unpacking every part of that. What does it do to us? How does it help us? How does it change us? How does it form the way we view the world and how we act in the world and live as Christians? Does that make sense? And so the big thing that we've been focusing on up until now, really, is the divinity of Jesus. That Jesus is God. That's what we mean by divinity. And so Jesus is God, and so because of that, Jesus reveals what God is like, who God is, and what God does in terms of saving people and how he does that. And so that's kind of the process we've been working through. Now, part of that, what we do today and what we're looking at, is how Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit to us. But what we've looked at so far has really been amplifying and hopefully raising our view of how good Jesus is and how good his works are. That Jesus is the power of God for salvation. And by salvation, we mean not only salvation for eternity, but also help in everyday present moments. Salvation for today's problems and tomorrow's problems. That Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. That we can say God is Christ-like. Helps us kind of understand what God is like. Jesus does that perfectly. And so Jesus brings clarity and accessibility of God. Brings God close. But then, Jesus says, in John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. So here we have this really high view of who Jesus is and what he accomplishes and what he does to save humanity from their biggest ailments and biggest struggles. And then Jesus says to his followers, it's better for you that I leave. That's a big statement. Okay? So we have God himself come in the flesh, saving mankind, revealing himself, making him knowable. And then he says, it's better for me, who's done all of this, to leave. So let me ask you a question before we go further today. What would you rather have? Jesus in the flesh, here today, or the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus says it's better for us that he leaves so that we can have the Holy Spirit. But when we look at the Gospels and we see Jesus and we're like, God is present in flesh. I can see him. I can touch him. I can see what he's doing. He's teaching me out loud. And he's going, but it's better for me that I leave. So that you can have another. You can have the Holy Spirit. What would you pick? If I'm honest, I would go, how about you just stay? Tell me all about the Holy Spirit, but I'd like to hear it from your physical mouth. If you could teach me through it. But I think what the question reveals to us, do we have the same high view of the Holy Spirit that Jesus does? And what it reveals about me is that I don't. Because I still find the ease and the accessibility of God in flesh versus God in spirit. So let's spend some time today looking at why this would be advantageous for us, that Jesus would go in order that we would have the Holy Spirit. Does that sound like fun? Now, what we've looked at in Genesis has been kind of revealing the Father's heart, and we've looked at how Jesus is God's answer and his response to sin. That when we make a mess of this life and we try and do it all on our own and we sin against God's perfect provision, his response is not to crush and destroy us and to reject us, but it's actually his response is Jesus to save us. But also in Genesis chapter 1, the scriptures begin like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In this creation picture, we have God the Father desiring, willing, planning, and initiating the creation of all things, right? And from that will and plan and desire springs forth the Word of God, the power of God to make his desires happen. In John chapter 1, we're taught that the Word of God is Jesus, that the spoken Word of God to create all things is Jesus himself. Jesus is the accomplishing of the desire of God, the powerful action that springs out of the heart of God. That's Jesus. But then in Genesis, we also have the Spirit of God who is pictured hovering over the face of the waters. Another word for hovering in that text is brooding, waiting, anticipating the Word of God to be spoken so that the Spirit can then make it actual. The same in creation is true of the redemption story. Our salvation, both from the big and ultimate things, but also the small and everyday problems, our redemption from evil comes from the heart of God, is accomplished by God the Son, but then is applied by the Holy Spirit. Another way to say this would be what the Father wills, the Son makes possible, and the Spirit makes actual in the heart of the Christian. Does that make sense? So this is where we see the unity of God in this one single purpose coming from the heart of God to do all that is necessary in Jesus, but then the Holy Spirit does all of that work inside you in the particulars of who you are. The language used in Scripture of the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of truth. In John 16:14 that I referred to earlier, Jesus says that the Spirit will glorify me. He'll glorify Jesus, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So how Jesus explains the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will come, he'll glorify Jesus, and he'll take all that is Jesus's and declare it and apply it to you. Making everything that Jesus made possible for you actual in you. So let's slow that down for a second. Okay, big concepts. But the simplest way of thinking about this is that the Holy Spirit is Jesus present with you, applying Jesus to you, uniting you to Jesus, and making all that is true about Jesus true about you. So God is not just doing something for you externally from you. He's actually doing something in you with his very presence. Let's look at what this looks like. In Romans chapter 8, The language that Paul uses here is he says this, the Spirit himself, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the picture here is the Spirit of Jesus comes to the deepest parts of you and speaks to you the gospel. And not only speaks to you the gospel, but actually applies the gospel to the parts of you that need it most. It's like the Holy Spirit is taking everything Jesus does, so everything he accomplishes in his divinity and in his humanity and in the crucifixion and in the resurrection and in the ascension, all of these pieces of the gospel, which we will unpack together over the next year, the Holy Spirit takes them and applies them to you. And says, see this wound here in your heart? This part of Jesus works for that. This sorrow within you, this part of Jesus is a balm to that sorrow. This fear within you, this truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for you, cures that fear. This guilt and shame within you, this is the remedy in Jesus for that. And here's the Holy Spirit working within the person and bringing them into unity and union with Jesus. So it's not like God just sends his son to accomplish all this great work and we go, wow, look at that, that's amazing. But we're still standing on the outside of it. The Holy Spirit takes all of that great work and puts it inside of you, changing you, transforming you, helping you. It makes sense why Jesus would say, it's better that I go. Because he's going, you've seen me and you've experienced all of this. But I want to put all of it into your heart and into your mind. I want it to help the way you think. I want it to change the way you feel. I want it to strengthen you in the ways that you're weak. I want it to help you in the places you need help most. That's a radical picture of how good the gospel can be. So let's look at that. Let's go to John 14 and just walk our way through a little bit this text and hear how Jesus describes the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Part of what Jesus is saying here is that I've helped you in a lot of ways, but now I'm going to give you one that works in you from the inside out. To give you another helper to be with you forever. Jesus, in his wondrous beauty and availability, God had never been more available than he was in Jesus. Right? Walking with people, talking with them, eating with them, living with them. That's a pretty profound closeness of God, right? But based on Jesus' humanity, if he walked away from you, all of a sudden you're far away from God. If he went to another town, like we read about different times, the disciples are going, we got to get to him. Right? That proximity changes. Jesus is saying that the work of God isn't done yet until he's with you forever. That he wants you to have the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So the idea here is that all the truth of God in the gospel is made available to you, is present with you, and is in you because of the Holy Spirit. All of that is resident now in the Christian. What? So now all the mysteries of God aren't out there somewhere we have to find them. He's actually put them in us to discover intimately and personally how he works and what he does and who he is. Deeply intimate language. He goes on, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So you can hear he's saying it over and over again. That God's going to dwell with you and be in you. I can't overstate the significance of this. We went from feeling separated from God because of our self-provision and our independence and we went from being separated to God to God saying, I'll come and do everything to save you and free you, but I'm not done yet. I want to come in. I want to live in you. The discussion I've been having with people in our community is that we are naturally, as humans, predisposed to be praying all the time. Everybody, whether they believe in God or not, whether they're a secular humanist or whether they're Hindu or whatever, everybody is praying all the time. We're thinking, we're feeling, we're asking questions. Have you ever worked on a task and you're having a whole conversation in your head, aren't you? Out in the back gardening, and you're thinking, you're talking, you're asking questions you don't have the answers to. There's something about the internal person is always looking to be in relationship with somebody else. But who is that? And today, in our time where most people in our culture don't believe in a God anymore, the questions and trying to solve problems inside always comes back on self, right? So the internal process is, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to change this problem? How am I going to make this better? And essentially what our society is doing is praying to self. There's all these problems and petitions and needs and requests, but where's it going? It's not going out. It's not directed towards God or looking to him for help. It's directed towards me. Right? Is that fair? And so that constant state of prayer doesn't have a good destination. It just heaps up more weight on me to provide for me. For me to be the savior of my own circumstances. For me to be a greater power for my problems. And all it does is compound the internal weight on me. Has anyone been caught in that internal cycle? There's just me? Right? That's pretty normal, isn't it? I think when there was this general understanding that there is a God, it was kind of just generally directed towards him. Right? When people believed that more. But they still weren't interacting with the reality that there's specific things God has done to help us. It's not just generally throwing out requests. The Holy Spirit here is saying, I'll be in the conversation. I'll be in the thoughts and the feelings and the wrestles inside, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you receive Jesus for that loop. The Holy Spirit's going to say, what you need there, what you're struggling with there, what you're asking there, this is the answer in Jesus. Are you following me? That's really close contact with God. This is the idea of the Spirit of truth being within us, helping us understand what Jesus has done and who he is and how it works with what we need most in the now. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. The idea is that his Spirit will be so close to us that there will be a greater sense of knowing, seeing, and understanding Jesus than if he stayed in the flesh. Because you'll see him interacting with you in the deep parts. In that day, because I live, you also will live. This is the language of whatever is true of Jesus will be true of you. Because Jesus conquers sin and death, you can conquer sin and death. He'll do it for you. Because Jesus has peace, you can have peace. Because Jesus has a loving Father, you have a loving Father. And on and on and on. Because Jesus is Lord over all things, you're cared for and provided for. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Let me just read that again. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. The picture here is that we will be participants within the perfect love of God. Have we enlarged our expectations yet of what the Christian life should look like and feel like? I'm talking about things way over my head, way above my pay grade. But don't you... You can sit in it right now and you can go, I don't get this, but I know I want this. Is that fair? Where you're like, I don't even know what all of this means. I just know I want in on that. The Father and the Son in their perfect love, and the Holy Spirit is bringing us into that fellowship. That place of peace and fulfillment and satisfaction. For me in my prayer life, I can feel in the depths of despair I might be in circumstantially, that to go into prayer in Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I can feel my heart, my soul, come up into this beauty that I can't even begin to understand. Where I feel full and satisfied inside when my circumstances in life are a complete horror. But in him, I'm happy. He goes on and says, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So here is this crazy idea that Jesus is going so that we can have the Holy Spirit, that we would live and walk in deep and constant intimacy with Jesus himself. Now, just to make things worse, the Holy Spirit makes Jesus closer to you than you are to yourself. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus closer to you than you are to yourself. Now, the way this works and the way this, I've seen this change the way I understand myself, all through my story, I've done very wrong things. I've committed some real sins in my life. Things that I look back at and I go, that I cannot believe I did that. But also, sins have been done to me. Terrible things have happened to me. Things that I look back at and I go, I can't believe that happened to me. Jesus goes back beyond all of those things. Taking the power of his cross and the life of his resurrection, and he puts that at my beginning. So that all the things that happened to me, he still comes first. So even though I've committed all of these things and all these terrible things have happened to me, Jesus goes back further and provides solution through his cross and life and resurrection to those parts of me through his resurrection. You are not the sum of your story. You are the sum of Jesus' story. And so whatever you've done and whatever's happened to you is not more significant and more powerful than who Jesus is and what he's done for you. And so the Holy Spirit goes to the deepest part of me and saves me from me. And saves me from the horrors in this world. And saves me from terrible and broken relationships. And saves me from abuse. And saves me from the taint of this world that's ruined my heart and broken me down and made me hopeless and sorrowful. Jesus goes further than that and saves me. At my beginning, all the way until my end and through eternity. Is this good news yet? I know it's mystical. I know it's mysterious. It's invisible. It's the unseen spiritual realities. I get that. But something inside of you resonates with desire to have that. Something about it makes sense, even though I can't make sense of it. Something about it makes me long for this to be true. In verse 23 of John chapter 14, he says, "We will make our home with you." God is saying that he wants the deepest parts of your heart, your emotions and your thoughts, to find home in relationship to him, to find fellowship in him, but safety with him. Provision in him, that you would finally find the place that you go, "I knew I was made for somewhere good. And I'm tired of feeling like I'm wandering this world trying to make this work and trying to save myself and trying to be enough for myself. I want to be home. And I want to be loved. And I want to be cared for. And I need to be helped. And I need somebody to save me from this mess." And he's saying, here you'll make your home in him. Find your place and your sweet spot. Verse 26, "And here he'll teach you all things about the gospel. The specific things about your life with the specific works of Jesus." And I've been pushing on this since I got here. General understandings about Jesus aren't good enough. We want to know how the specifics of Jesus work for the specifics of us. Is that a fair statement? We want to know how the specifics of Jesus and what he's done and what he's accomplished work for the specific problems of this world that are killing us from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is the great internal teacher, showing what Jesus has done for your specific story, your specific needs, your specific problems, your specific struggle, your pain, all of that. God in the Spirit preaching Jesus to the deepest parts of your heart. Goes on to say, "bringing to remembrance all that I have taught you." And then verse 27, I'll close with this. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. What we looked at last week in the story of the fall, got music coming out behind me. What we looked at last week in Genesis chapter 3 is that our sin is choosing to live without God, choosing to provide for ourselves and to be enough for ourselves. And that the natural consequence of that is anxiety. It is psychological anguish. It's the weight of having to provide for yourself and be enough for yourself, to sustain yourself and to save yourself. Jesus is saying the gospel is peace to the deepest parts of you. Jesus is saying he'll bring all of his accomplishments to where you need it most and give you peace, rest. The kind of peace that comes when pain finally goes away. The kind of peace that feels like, oh, finally, finally some peace. When somebody greater than you and stronger than you says, I'll take care of everything for you. And all of this is the person and the presence and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the central work of who the Spirit is and what he does. It's to make all that is true about Jesus and his specifics true about you in the deepest places for your specific needs. Does that sound worth it to have Jesus go in the flesh? To have Jesus present deep within, dealing with your particular issues, and giving to them all the things that he accomplishes for them. Jesus being able to say, this problem, this is what I did for you there. And be present in your every day, every thought, every feeling, every moment, giving you what you need most. Amen.